your host for Lacrosse Talk PM, Rick Solem.
All right, welcome to a Thursday of Lacrosse Talk PM. Getting ahead of myself. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk fair maps, gerrymandering. There's rallies going on tomorrow across the state of Wisconsin, as the Supreme Court takes up redistricting in the state. Connor Glayson is going to come on. He's with the group that's called Represent Us. And it's a pretty interesting group that really is just trying to get money and trying to level the playing field in politics, just trying to get money out of politics as well. And I think fair maps and this redistricting process is a big part of just kind of, I'll make him describe exactly what they represent. But what the name represents is what they represent, and that's us, the voter. So probably the simplest way to put that. But he's going to come on and talk about a rally that they're having at Cameron Park tomorrow at noon. So always these rallies. They should hold these rallies in the summer. Be easier, right? And be kind of hot and muggy in the summer to do that stuff. I don't know if I'd want to do that either. I'd rather be out there in the winter, to be honest, except when it's really windy out, then I don't want to be outside and dealing with the 30 below wind chills. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. If you check out wisdomnews.com right now, front and center, first story on there is a pretty good one. This is something that we've talked about on the show couple months ago with State Representative Jill Billings, and it's essentially just what's called a safe harbor law, and a really good story on what Jill Billings has been trying to get passed through the legislature for, you know, just 8 years. What do we do today? Did we make Colby cheese the state cheese in the legislature today? I think that was one of the things I saw, and I'm just kind of like, what, this is what we're doing? It's the middle of a pandemic, and we're debating whether or not Colby should be the state cheese. Huge debate. Meanwhile, in the Senate, we're debating voting rights, right? Like the filibuster, ending the filibuster to pass voting rights. And it wouldn't even have been to necessarily pass those voting rights bills, right? It would have been just to be able to vote on them, because that's where we want to be, because the filibuster just prevents us from voting on the things. So in Wisconsin, Jill Billings have been trying to get this safe harbor bill passed, and essentially it's about, we can get into it a little later, but essentially minors who are, you know, that have their pimps or whatever are trafficking them. They're selling them out to be prostitutes, and they can get arrested for prostitution. But it's like, well, how does a minor get arrested for prostitution? Because he's a minor. They're a minor. You can't have sex with minors. So why would it be? So what it would essentially be statutory rape, right? So essentially this bill is trying to end that because it's not helpful. Hey, yeah, let's get this minor a criminal record for prostitution. That's going to help their entire life, right? Especially when they're in a situation that prevents them from getting out of this being trafficked, right? But it hasn't even gotten a hearing. We haven't even got it past committee or to committee. It's just sitting on the agenda. Hey, can we do this? Can we talk about this in committee? Nope, has never happened. 8 years, two governor administrations at this point. And just the Republicans that control the legislature don't want to discuss it. So while the Senate filibusters things so that we don't even get to vote on, you know, legislation, we're not even going to think about seeing where each of our 50 senators stand on one thing or another. For this one, we are not going to debate it on the floor of the assembly. Therefore, we don't know where everyone stands on this. because I feel like most people would stand behind what Representative Billings is trying to pass here. So anyway, that's my spiel. 608-785-7914, 608-785-7914. I'll turn the talk and text line on. I will do that. But coming up, we're going to talk to Connor about gerrymandering, fair maps. They're having a rally tomorrow. Lacrosse Council, Rebecca Schwarz is going to be there. Pastor Libby Howe, State Rep Steve Doyle, State Senator Brad Paff. They're all going to be there tomorrow at noon talking about fair maps. All right, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll talk about this. Welcome back to Lacrosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the text line. Text me. You got a comment on gerrymandering and redistricting, on the whole process that seems to be a little messed up from what I've learned over the past few years anyway, is starting to look into this and be like, what? This is how we do what? But Connor Glasson is on with me. He's from Represent Us, the Wisconsin district. Connor, how does that work? How does Represent Us? Where are you representing Wisconsin and Represent Us?
Yeah, good question, Rick. So Represent Us is a national organization. We are the nation's leading right-left pro-democracy organization, bringing together people from all across the political spectrum to pass laws that strengthen our democracy and protect it from anti-democratic threats. Where the Wisconsin part comes in, and I can get to that, is we are working in particularly four key states here that are at high risk of gerrymandering, as you've been covering on your show so well, Wisconsin being one of them. colleagues I have include Ground Game in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Florida. We are ramping up here in Wisconsin. But just a bit more about, you know, Represent Us. We, like I said, we're national, got staff all over the country. And we work on the federal level and in hyper local in the state's level as well. So since our founding a decade ago, we've racked up 129 political wins in states and localities to pass things like ranked choice voting, open primaries, anti-gerrymandering, and ethics reforms, just to name a few. Like I said, that's all at the local and state levels as well.
Yeah, this Connor Glasson's on with us, Represent Us in the Wisconsin district. And tomorrow you're holding a rally, and it's beginning at noon at Cameron Park. A lot of, State Senator Brad Paff is going to be there, State Rep here in the Onalaska Lacrosse area, Steve Doyle, Pastor Libby Howe, and Lacrosse City Council member Rebecca Schwarz, and you, yourself. I don't know. Those are the speakers, right? Those are the people that are going to be talking. But I guess, why are you holding the rally tomorrow at Cameron Park? Like, what's the significance of doing that now?
That is correct, Rick. Yeah, I am brave in the cold, or all of us are brave in the cold in Wisconsin in January here. Really key reason, the Wisconsin State Supreme Court is in the midst of deciding our legislative maps as of this week. The court heard arguments yesterday, Wednesday, the 19th. So basically the map-making process in Wisconsin is coming down to, is in the hands of the Supreme Court. It is a 7-justice Supreme Court that we have here in Wisconsin. A lot of us would say it is a 4-3 split, but there is a lot of hope with a swing justice here. Hence the reason for the rally. We are sort of raising our voice and letting it be known that, you know, Wisconsinites are not ready for another decade of gerrymandered maps.
Yeah, and the Supreme Court held hearings yesterday. You almost should have had the meeting 2 days ago, but the Supreme Court's not listening to you, are they? Or the Supreme Court go, wow, they've had, you're having rallies all over the state tomorrow. Does the Supreme Court even think about that stuff, do you think?
Well, that's the goal, yes. The arguments were heard yesterday, but the deliberation is still very much ongoing. We have been, so Represent Us is partnering with the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition, along with the League of Women Voters here, in hosting and coordinating these 16 simultaneous rallies across the state tomorrow. The Supreme Court absolutely is listening. They are, you know, well, supposed to be apolitical and respect the will of, you know, Wisconsinites. And we want it to be known that Wisconsinites are fired up about our maps and gerrymandering. And, you know, we have conducted a recent poll that 87% of Wisconsinites oppose gerrymandering. So we're demanding fairer maps that truly reflect the will of the voters.
How many, Connor, how many rallies tomorrow, or maybe in the coming weeks, or maybe the past couple of weeks, are for gerrymandering? How many for pro-gerrymandering rallies do you think there are?
Well, all against gerrymandering, I should say.
Right. No, it's funny, like, right? Though, but it's kind of a funny concept, because we have these, you know, want to get the politics out of the ability, the politicians out of the ability to draw their own maps. But we don't have anyone touting, hey, you know what? We want, not a lot of people. I guess maybe there are a couple of people. Actually, I want my politicians drawing their own maps. I guess if your political party holds the ability to draw the maps, you would definitely be for that if you're in some kind of weird situation where you want just all the power to one party. But the idea there's not a lot of rallies for the other side here.
Yeah, no, funny you say that. No, exactly. It's obviously a corrupt issue. You know, it's a way of essentially allowing our politicians to select their voters rather than us, the voters, the people elect our politicians, or our elected officials. So, no one out there pounding the pavement in support of gerrymandering. But yeah, it's a big issue for a lot of different reasons that we can get into as well, Rick.
How much did you pay attention months ago now, maybe a month and a half or so ago, the hearings held at the state legislature? Hours of hearings, and the only two people to speak for the map making process that's currently held is the Senate leader and the Assembly leader, both Republicans. Those are the only two people to speak for the maps. Nobody from the public came, hey, you know what, I like the process that we do right now.
Well, exactly. Yeah, I mean, so I think we had, you know, Speaker Voss as one of those people and you know, mentioned that this was just such a transparent process, for which it was not. There was actually in the legislature just one day allowed for public comment. We saw many other states allow for multiple days of public comment over a long, quite a few months as well. So, no one came and vouched for the maps. And I mean, it goes to show. I mean, Governor Evers vetoed these maps as we expected he would, because they were quite skewed.
Yeah, I think the Republicans right now want to say, hey, we barely changed the maps. You changed the maps 10 years ago, but the Supreme Court recently said the new maps that will be drawn can't be changed a ton. I don't know, when you heard that ruling, did you swear? Did you throw your like brick cheese head at the TV or maybe the news story you were reading? And because 10 years ago, the maps, like, we moved people all over the place now. And then the Supreme Court says, we're not going to let you do that again. And it's like, well, we have to right the wrong, but now you're saying you can't.
Right, exactly. No, I mean, it was, to be honest, Rick, not entirely a surprise, but that's maybe unfortunate to say. But yeah, it was obviously a blow to us that we would have liked to have maps that are closer to the maps that we had in 2010, with allowing more balance in our state legislature, I should say. And we also have partnered with another nonpartisan organization, the Princeton Gerrymandering Project, on the redistricting report card. And it's a really great group of political scientists out at Princeton that have this big voting rights lab, and they generated this online tool that has been grading voting maps throughout this redistricting cycle in, I think, every state as the maps get like drafted and drawn. And Wisconsin state legislature passed a partisan F grade for their congressional, state house, and state senate maps. Obviously, it's trying to secure one party control for the next decade here.
Well, you say partisan-esque? Is that? I need grades, man. A, B, C, D, F. I mean, what would Wisconsin get? Probably pretty close to an F.
An F. Yes, I did say an F.
Oh, did you say partisan F? Maybe you said partisan F.
Yes.
Oh, you did.
Apologize.
F. Oh, gotcha. I thought you said esque. I was like, well, it definitely is a little partisan. we're speaking with Connor Glasson. He represents. It's weird to say he's with. There we go. He's with represent us out of the Wisconsin district. It's a national. Now you said there was four states that you were holding rallies in. Let me see. You said North Carolina, Pennsylvania.
Sorry, Rick. We are operating right now ground games in four states. They're doing various, activities as their, state legislatures are, drafting those maps and such. But rallies, I'm not. They're very likely are rallies coming up in those states.
I got you. No, that's all right.
Their redistricting process comes up, but here in Wisconsin, we've got. Just those rallies tomorrow.
Yeah,
16
locations, including Cameron Park at noon. All right, so you said four states, but did I get them right? North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. What was the other state?
Florida, you got it.
Oh, Florida. Okay, so I haven't heard Florida. So a lot of times, so when I think of gerrymandering, I think Illinois is pretty gerrymandered toward Democrats, and Maryland's pretty gerrymandered toward Democrats. Do you guys go after those states as well?
You know, that's a good question. I think the answer is yes. I think we'll call out any corruption that we see fit here. We have right now at the moment, I think we're really ramping up a lot in the next year. So it's very possible that ground game could be done. Throughout Illinois and Maryland as well.
It is funny because this isn't like a Republican thing or a Democrat. They're all doing it.
No,
so it depends
not.
On what state. Because in Illinois, it's way the other way. In Maryland, it's way the other way. It's way shifted towards Democrats. And it's kind of annoying. So I didn't know Florida's pretty gerrymandered or is on the verge of being very gerrymandered towards Republicans.
Correct. Yeah, it's at a high risk level of being very gerrymandered. So that would be correct. Yeah.
Well, and all this stuff that we're doing, Connor, right now too. We're trying to convince the Supreme Court to adhere to or take maps that aren't drawn in. Right? Is that the deal at this point in the battle? Hey, Supreme Court, can you grab maps that are pretty fair for everybody? Is that kind of the stance right now?
That's the hope on our end, yes. So where it stands right now, Rick, is we have the Supreme – well, there was a period where, as you mentioned earlier, the Supreme Court said we are going to be prioritizing, maybe is the right word, that maps that are least change, quote-unquote. So least change, I think, as in moving the least amount of voters around, getting maps that are the most similar to what we currently have. And there are, I believe, I want to say, seven parties that submitted maps to the Supreme Court, and those parties are now arguing their case. The Supreme Court will, subsequently choose, I guess, quote unquote, who wins, I guess, or which maps they would like to select, and those will be the maps that are instituted throughout Wisconsin for the next 10 years here.
It is almost at this point too, the game is lost for a decade, right? Because now we're just waiting on a court to pick a map that's probably going to be drawn by the state legislature. But what happens every year is for the last 40 years, except for 10 years ago when Republicans controlled everything and they just drew the maps the way they want because nobody could oppose them. The 40 years before that, this process is broken. and it always went to the courts. The state legislature could never come to an agreement, which means, hey, your process doesn't work. We can't let the state legislature draw the maps. You never come to an agreement. Make an outside body that's nonpartisan draw these things. But that battle's already lost here, right? Because we'll have to fight that one for the next 10 years, right? For 10 years down the road, hopefully we can get this system out of Wisconsin, maybe to adopt something like Iowa.
Yeah, of course, you got it, Rick. So, you know, this is why having one-party control throughout all branches of government is a bit dangerous as well. So, as you said, in 2010, we had the legislature controlled by one party as well as the governorship, and they were able to, in effect, cram through maps that were very skewed. So that's what we have at the moment. I mean, right now, Wisconsin has thankfully, you know, adopted an independent People's Commission maps that actually received a grade of an A from the Princeton Gerrymandering Project. They are nonpartisan, and we, you know, unfortunately, the commission's role is merely advisory. So we need to definitely move to a system that, you know, is putting more weight on the Wisconsin People's Commission maps, and where they have more of a final say or input on the maps that end up passing. So we are in this, you know, in this fight for the long haul. And, you know, we are, as you mentioned, it's in the hands of the state Supreme Court right now. There's seven parties. You know, some of the parties involve the state legislature, which is essentially the state legislative Republican caucus, the congressional Republicans, so the five congressional members who are Republican from Wisconsin submitted maps, Governor Evers, and then Law Forward are some of those groups as well that are now in the process of arguing their maps. Some look better than others. You know, some may not be the grade of A, but are certainly an improvement from what the legislature kind of rigged up here.
Yeah, that's Connor Glasson. He's with Represent Us. I also want to say U.S., but it's Represent Us. A rally tomorrow starting at noon. Rebecca Schwartz on the city council, Pastor Libby Howe, State Rep Steve Doyle, and State Senator Brad Paff are going to speak. They're representatives here in the La Crosse area. And you're going to speak as well. But Connor, thanks so much for joining me, man. And it'll take about an hour, right, that event?
Yeah, we're going to be pretty brief because it is going to be pretty cold. So we're going to get through. We're going to have a good rally, a good turnout. Bring a friend. If you are listening now and, you know, fired up about gerrymandering, which should be about 87% of you, come on out to Cameron Park tomorrow. Bring a friend. We will have some hot chocolate and coffee, rally signs, yard signs to take home, asking that everyone wears a mask. And
you gonna have any Kahlua in your like inside pocket to just pour in it? No, I'm just kidding. All right, man. Thanks so much for joining me.
Of course, Rick.
All right.
Thanks for having me.
Yep, bye. All right, that was Connor Glasson. Like you said, tomorrow noon, Cameron Park. Check it out. Represent Us. We'll be back. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM, 608-785-7914. This went from kind of an empty show to now I have guests all over the place. And joining me now on the phone, Mark Newman, La Crosse City Council member. But a little bit more than that now, Mark, again, you're throwing your hat in the ring, so to speak, running for Congress?
Yeah, that's right, Rick. I was out today making the rounds. I was up at Stevens Point early this morning, ran over to Eau Claire, and then came back down to La Crosse. This is the kickoff day for the campaign, Mark Newman for Congress.
All right, well, congrats on doing that. You did that last 2 years ago as well. What did you learn from that process that you're going to take into this one?
Well, I certainly got a lot of technical experience, and I learned that I liked the political arena. That last effort at campaigning was because I was very, very adamant about the importance of single-payer Medicare for all, and I wanted to get that into the conversation. So that's why I entered the race. And the other thing is, it's important when people come to vote that they get a choice. And so we had two names on the ballot last time, and I was very happy about that. But we're familiar with our race this time. We have multiple candidates, and I was kind of waiting to see if we were going to get one that was going to speak up strongly for progressive issues. Not seeing that, by the end of November, it was time for me to say, you know, somebody has to carry that message. We got to get a full spectrum of policy ideas into our campaign, into our Democratic campaign this primary. And so my plan is to carry a strong progressive message.
Now, Medicare for All, obviously one of the big ones. Some people get nervous when they hear that, but what is your argument for Medicare for All when you're talking to a huge district here, Mark, and some people are scared. Government run healthcare is kind of the adage there.
Yeah, that's for sure. I know a lot of people don't like the name Medicare for All, and it's kind of loaded in some people's appreciation. But the problem for us is that our healthcare financing system is very inefficient, very ineffective, and in a lot of cases, it's cruel. People end up with family members very sick or injured, and what does our current financing system do? It adds on extra burdens of suffering that other financing systems in other countries do not impose upon the people that live in those countries. So call it what you want. It's single payer. That means one checkbook's paying the bills. It's publicly funded, and it's similar to what we see in Canada, but it's also a lot like Medicare, but it has to be more expansive than Medicare, and it has to be providing other services that we don't see in Medicare that was actually created in 1965. You know, medicine's come a long way since then.
We're speaking with Mark Newman. He just kicked off his campaign for the 3rd Congressional District today. I think you're five candidates, Mark. Is there five other Democratic candidates running against what will essentially, I think, only be one Republican?
I don't know about the Republican part, but, in our Democratic campaign, our spring election, or what do you call it, this primary election, and we're going to vote on August, it's going to be a nice group of candidates. So people are going to have a lot to think about and a lot to learn about. We can have a good conversation about what's important to us in the future of our governance.
Now, you definitely said you saw the other candidates. They weren't tell me if I'm wrong. They're not progressive enough, and that's why you threw your hat in the ring?
Well, I think the big one for me was the touchstone was I was looking for somebody that was going to be a strong supporter of a single-payer health care insurance plan for the whole country. That was the thing that last time it had to get into the conversation, and I wanted to see it get in again this year. And the other issues, I mean, I have other progressive issues, you know, the importance of responding to our climate crisis and justice and security. But, you'll have to have me come back on the show, and we can talk about all those things, too.
Yeah, for sure. I'm all about not having to worry about, if I go to the doctor, how much is it going to cost? Will insurance cover it? And what will my deductible be? And how much will I pay? Just to have no idea. And that's kind of the point of Medicare for All, right? A universally run healthcare system.
Well, you know, I'm kind of repeat again. It's not that we're actually running a healthcare system. We are running how we pay for it. So who's going to carry the checkbook? You know, we have one checkbook. It's federally funded, and that pays the bills. We have the same hospitals, the same doctors. We have all the other parts of our healthcare system. We're just going to pay for it together through one system so that we can make it more efficient and we can control prices and we can get away from what you just said, people being suspicious that they needed to get some help, but they're hindered because they're afraid, how much is this going to cost me? That should not be a hindrance to people getting care.
Yeah, I want to go to the doctor, and then the doctor says, oh, yeah, here's what's wrong with you, and then see you later. Have a good day. Hopefully you get better. And then I don't have to think about any of the other things. I only want to, when it comes to my health care, I only want to think about my health, not all the other things that come with it financially.
Especially if you're not feeling well. You know, either you're just doing a health check, which you need to do, and you don't want to be hindered from that. But if you're feeling ill or if you're injured, you certainly don't want to add on to those worries an unnecessary worry of how are we going to get this paid for. They call that financial toxicity. So we're already suffering. Let's just kick on some more suffering for people in our country when they're sick.
We're speaking with Mark Newman, kicking off his campaign for the 3rd Congressional District, running as a Democrat. Mark, what were you, how many hours on the road were you today? Because the 3rd Congressional is huge, and you went to Stevens Point. You might not even need to go to Stevens Point again.
I know, we were talking about that a little bit. You know, we just have to wait and see how that pans out. But yeah, that was a lot of time for meditation on the road there. Not real meditation, but reflection, put it that way. So we had some good reflections along the road.
Were there any conversations with people in Stevens Point about that? Like, oh yeah, that's, we feel a little bit, I don't know what the word would be, but the idea that we don't know who's going to represent us in the next congressional term.
Well, you know what? That's just a good example of what our gerrymandering does. It treats us, the voters, like we're just some piece of football or something that can be kicked around. And certainly I would not feel misunderstanding for people up in Portage County. One of the folks up there told me they're trying to divide their county possibly into 3 different districts. And that's just insulting to us, the voters, that this gerrymandering just treats us like we don't really count for anything and passes around like a piece of baloney.
Yeah, and are you going to be at the rally tomorrow? There's a rally in Cameron Park about gerrymandering in La Crosse.
You know, I'd love to be there, but I got a couple more places to stop in tomorrow to talk about this campaign. So I'm heading over to Richland Center, and then I'll come back and check in at Viroqua.
All right. Mark Newman, thanks a lot. Congratulations and good luck.
All right. I'll see you another time. Thanks, Rick.
All right. Bye-bye. That was Mark Newman. He's a city council member right now. He's running again for Congress as a Democrat in the 3rd Congressional District. All right, we're going to take a quick break. William Garcia, Democratic County Chair, is sitting in here with me. We're going to chat a little bit before we're done. All right, we'll be back. All right, welcome back to La Crosse Talk PM. 608-785-7914 is the talk and text line. William Garcia, the La Crosse County Democratic Party Chair, is sitting in here with me. We got to do a podcast, William. We're rolling through what, state Senate candidates, or is it another
Senate candidate? Today's another Senate candidate. Yep, we're doing podcasts with basically everyone running for statewide office over the next 3 months.
And I, you know, we can just do like show prep here, or just brainstorm a little bit. So we're going to bank a couple of these, and we've been releasing the Democratic Voice podcast on Mondays, but we're going to have a lot of these candidates.
So we might do the candidate ones like on Wednesdays or Thursdays or something. Yeah.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you off the air, but then now you're here. So, all right, so we were talking about gerrymandering. There's a rally tomorrow at noon just what is the point of a rally? The Supreme Court is going to decide on the maps. If we're holding 16 rallies throughout the state, the Supreme Court isn't going, oh, well, they held a rally in La Crosse, are they?
No, the Supreme Court does pay attention. I mean, remember, Supreme Court is an elected position.
Okay.
The Supreme Court pays attention to what people are saying and doing. All right. Now, they are going to write a decision, all right, that looks legal and formal, but it is completely naive to believe that they are going to make a decision completely removed from the will of the people, all right? Especially because they're elected officials. So all of these rallies, I mean, they're important for a lot of reasons, but one of them is to tell the Supreme Court, you know, we're watching you, we see what you're doing, we know what you're doing is wrong, and if you rule in a kind of illegal fashion, we are going to call you on it come election day.
All right. That's William Garcia, the La Crosse County Democratic Party Chair. Also, the maps, there's like multiple maps. Is the Supreme Court going to take one of these maps from a group that we haven't really heard of before?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's probably going to take a map. It's probably, sadly, going to just take the Republican map, which is a ludicrous map. And one of the reasons we know that is because they have kind of already pre-announced that they're really in favor of what you call a least change map, which means that they believe that the best map is one that is the least bit changed from the previous map.
That would have been a great argument a decade ago.
That would have been a great argument a decade ago when 3.3 million people changed districts in Wisconsin because Republicans wanted to draw congressional maps that were way easier for them to win. And of course, we've seen that happen because Republicans have a massive lead in terms of how many congressmen we send to Washington, even though the vote is always 50-50 or more. We've had one where Democrats won more votes for Congress people, but we still sent all the Republicans to Congress. So the gerrymandering is bad, but it's really in bad faith for Republicans to argue, oh yeah, we should be a map of least change, when one, the map was so completely manipulated and destroyed 10 years ago because there was no one to hold them in check. Now they've got someone in check, so they're desperately fishing for an argument, right? And then it's also disingenuous because they're saying that, but then they're also doing something like what they're trying to do in Stevens Point, which is take a liberal county and divide it up into not one, not two, but three different districts in order to dilute the power of that liberal county.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Kevin texted in a little while ago, and I didn't have this up for Connor to talk about, but I think maybe you could talk about it. Kevin says gerrymandering happens on a local level. Look up the La Crosse County supervisory maps to see it on a local level. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous. I mean, I have to hand it to the Republicans that they're playing a really fancy political game here, but it's all nonsense. All right. So what happened is, I mean, obviously, La Crosse County grew. We've got to redraw the maps. They form a committee to draw those maps. Those maps committee members are made up of people that are on the board. La Crosse County is largely Democratic, so more of those people are Democrats. But here's the thing that happened. They basically said, all right, anyone can join the board. All right. And people did. There was a conservative person who joined the board, and then he resigned because he saw that he was the only conservative on the board. So he left the map drawing board, and then they came out and argued, well, there are no conservatives on the map drawing board, because they left. They were allowed to be there. So the trying to say that there was some like conspiracy about gerrymandering in La Crosse is ludicrous. They had an opportunity and they flat out left because they knew that they were going to not get a map they wanted. So instead of like trying to participate, trying to like be in a democracy, they just refused to participate so that they could come back later and say, oh, we don't like the map. It was bad for us. It's ludicrous. It's a terrible argument and very disingenuous of the Republicans to try and spin this as a gerrymandering issue.
And we created one more district in the county, right?
We did.
And that district went to a rural area. So if you want to pretend that all rural people are conservatives and all city people are Democrats, which is ludicrous because I'm a rural person, but the process created a district in a rural area,
yep.
I believe, right?
Yep.
All right. So the other thing, too, is when you get to these Supreme Court maps, how are the able? Someone texts in. How are the people of Wisconsin involved or able to provide their input to the current and proposed maps? Is it just stuff like this? These rallies?
No. Well, and I will say, sadly, for the most part, a lot of that happened. But Governor Evers put together a Fair Maps Commission, and that commission went around for months in 2021. They went all over the state. They went to county after county after county, taking advice, taking recommendations, hearing from people. And of course, that process was largely passed. So this is the moment to, if you really want to say in gerrymandering, that you need to just be contacting your representatives, whether they're Republican or Democrat, and saying, look, I don't care how you vote, whether you're conservative or liberal. What I care about is that the election process is fair. And that's what you need to be telling your congresspeople.
Now, they held Connor from Represent Us talked about this, Connor Glasson. He said that it was pretty bad that the state legislature only held one public hearing on something that's going to affect us for a decade.
And let's be clear on that. That's the Republican, because the Republicans have complete control in both the House and both the Assembly and the Senate in Wisconsin. So when we're talking about Democrat Governor Evers opened the process up to everyone, had things all over the state that were basically like, come talk to us, tell us your concerns,
right.
Open to Republicans, open to Democrats, everyone. The Republican map was drawn behind closed doors. They had one meeting and then they just voted on it and that was it.
Yeah. And that hearing that they held, the public hearing in Madison, only two people spoke for the process or for the maps that they made, Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu, the Senate leader and the Assembly leader. So nobody from the public
No.
Am I getting that wrong? Is nobody from the public?
No, because no one from the public was involved.
But people from the public went to this meeting and spoke out against the maps.
Sure.
Like many people.
Yeah, no one for it.
I think it was like a 7 or 10 hour.
Because they knew that they knew they already had it. I mean, that's the thing. When you when you've got extremist Republicans that control the Assembly and the Senate, you don't need to stand up and like argue what you're saying because you know your side's going to win anyway.
So you as a citizen and, you know, me as a citizen, I feel like I need to go speak. I need to go to Madison, speak out against this map making process. So I go into the legislature and talk during this public, the one public hearing that Republicans held statewide. But no Republicans that are part of this process decided. You know what I'm? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
It just seems funny. And we're also, are we holding any rallies for the process? Like, are there pro the politics,
no.
You know what I mean? It's just kind of a funny thing to point out. We're not seeing any rallies across the state for this process, for these maps. If everyone loves these maps, then we should be seeing some rallies. This is still a process that isn't decided.
But we're not seeing any of it.
Yeah. So it's just kind of a funny thing that I always like to point out. Anyway, that's William Garcia. I'm Rick Solom.
Have a great day.